Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
So let's go ahead. I want to get a feel of who I have in the room. Tell me if you guys are homeschooling currently high schoolers. Okay, most of you are. How many of are like preparing for that stage? All right, so it's kind of like 50-50 and you're in high school? Okay, well, glad to have you here because truthfully, you guys are the ones that are owning in and buying into your own education. I am Jamie Anderson. This is Homeschool High School Buying In. Thanks for making it past Wednesday's transfer of class times to here. One of the things that I've learned over the years is absolutely all these women that I meet in the conferences, they give me strength. I feel so much more enlivened by hearing their stories and hearing about how they've gotten through those tough times with high school, but also recognizing that my path is not necessarily their path. My kiddos are not their same kiddos, and so because of that, we're all like relying on the Holy Ghost to help us make those choices for our kids, and ultimately for the kids also to buy into their education. This is a fun meme that came across my feed the other day, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is so true. I started homeschooling my kiddos when I was supposed to be putting my oldest in preschool, and I thought, I can't say goodbye. This is too much, and I think I can probably do a pretty good job. I don't think I'm going to mess her up. So we started doing a joy school when kids were younger, and it was like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was perfect. I loved it. And then as we got older, we definitely had days. It was a struggle. I had days like this, and I'm like, what? I was frustrated. They were frustrated, but guess what? This is University Earth. We bought into the plan to come down here, and they need to recognize, and we, part of our job too, is to help them recognize those hard times, to see the roadblocks, maybe not to spend 3 hours trying to get a friction fire going, but there's roadblocks that we're going to have, but we can overcome them. And so, yeah, high school is going to be about days like this for us and for them, but in the end, it's super rewarding and wonderful. When you're building your homeschool years, and how many have you been homeschooling the whole time? I've had a chance. Okay, yes, Jenny was mentioning before. Okay, good. A lot of us are starting the journey halfway. Wherever you're at on your journey, guess what? You're setting foundation stones, and they look different. Yes, you are growing, your kids are learning and growing in different ways, but also there's other outside circumstances that are going to jolt you just like they did in Machu Picchu, and everyone's like, I can't build the same way I used to. I can't do the same curriculum with my kiddos. I can't be in the same state or the same setting, and you have to change. Know that in my history, granted we did move a lot, but also it's just fine to change, and you don't have to just rely on one set curriculum, one online path. You can build your own walls. I'm an eclectic teacher, and actually what I would love to do is a classical education with my kiddos and then throw in like a lot of nature journaling. And so I do Charlotte Mason, I do classical, I do TJ Ed, but I also do unschooling because I'm like, no, the kids need to have a say in what they're learning, especially as they get older. So what I'd like to do in the next 40 minutes or so, talk about some of the strategies and the principles that I've used in helping I just have four kiddos that emotionally I feel like I could handle. And I know everybody else has their own number, but those were my four. And these are the steps that I would like to share with you of how we got through those years together. Your parent role, I hope you all recognize this, is those spirits were given directly to you to be able to nurture them in an environment that God wants them to become and to know who they are as sons and daughters of God. You have that power, and it is absolutely within every day. Kneel, find your little safe haven, whether it's in the closet or just aside your bed. Find that safe haven and ask for guidance every day. Your subtlest power is to teach and uplift the souls for which you are responsible. That is your power, and you know what? The world knows that, and they are attacking women. They're attacking motherhood. Make it sacred. Embrace your kiddos. Embrace the role and the time that you have with them. 18 years. It's not a lot, but when you're in the thick of it, it is really hard. But it's so worth it when you look back and you recognize that the two things that they can bring back with them after this time here is your relationships and knowledge. I want to make sure my relationships are solid with my kiddos. And so if things aren't working, I would step back and I'd say, we got to do something different. But that's your power. We can do it as mothers. So together, you and your husband, and sometimes if you're a single mom, that's okay. Use your resources. Maybe your grandparents are close by, or maybe you have other homeschooling network of moms that you can work with. You network and say, look back, look at my kids. What are their strengths? Decide what your goals are going to be for your family that year with prayer. Our family, our goals changed because our kids were aging out into different things. We were moving into different areas. And also we recognized, I want to develop this in this child. I want to see if we can give them opportunities to grow in a leadership role. Or perhaps we want to have them more ingrained into who they are, interpersonal reflections. So as your best days are spent, whether they're outside or whether they're just at home and you take the phone off the hook or you have everything on silent, it's a digital less day. Write down those times. You make your choice together. What do you want to keep? What do you want to revamp? And what do you want to scrap? Because some things aren't worth doing twice. So make those choices together. There is a couple that I knew back east. So I originally have spent most of my married life back east. So LDSHE was... That was our crew, our herd back there, because we didn't have a lot of LDS homeschoolers on the East Coast. Coming here, totally different game plan. But we were able to, so this couple that I knew, they said we would take a weekend over the summer and we would evaluate what we wanted each one of our kids to have for that year. What were their strengths? What experiences do we want to have as a family? These are all things that they said, we're going to take a couple's vacation. And they went out and they did it and they planned what they did. Now, granted, their kids were a little bit younger. So let's think, usually 8th grade and below, you're going to be the ones making some of those choices, like, what do we want to study? What are they interested in? I mean, you can see what your kids' strengths are, and so you're going to plan your time around them. I know this has already been covered. Yes, Kenna, Deitches, right? Yeah. Already covered this, and so I'm not going to spend time here, but absolutely know Howard Gardner's multiple intelligences. There's lots of other ways you can look at it. This is a way to get to know your child. Max Lucado also wrote Cure for the Common Life. He talks about it in a slightly different way, but your child's strengths and their weaknesses you should be familiar with. All right, how many of you, and this is going to be hard to read. I was trying to find my cards this morning, and they are packed away. Yes, we are moving again. So, what do you think, what do you take for granted? What's on your bucket list? But how many of you can answer questions about your kiddos? What would they do to spend $1 million on? What would they bring with them on a deserted island? How much do you know your kiddos? What's their favorite childhood vacation? So do those reflection questions with your hubby, and maybe even at the table, the dinner time table, like take some time and get to know your kiddos, because the more you know them and what their dreams and desires are, the better you can help facilitate them in these last years of high school. By the way, it's hilarious, but I ask my students the same question, and every single one of the boys says, I'm taking my dad with me on that deserted island because he can solve everything, and I love it. It is so fun. I thought, that's a great dad. I love it. All right, questions. Now, that foundational wall that you have built for your kiddos, I really hope that in that wall you've chosen to make the strong foundation stones of a heart that's been developed, that they're empathetic, that they have the chance to have love, that they recognize good and bad, that they're working on the most important thing is that I need to treat my family with respect, and I need to make sure that when I go into the community, I'm respectful to them and to others. Being, I believe the word is civil today, above all else, is very important. But well-educated heart, if you are not familiar with any of their things, look online for it. I have in the notebook, in the guidebook, your page, I don't have it on here. Fantastic. Page 65. That well-educatedheart.org site is a great reference for all things beautiful. So think art, poetry, literature, things that uplift, and they actually share and they show your child purpose and passion over the years for so many different time periods. So anyways, look at that website. It helps with character development. When my kids were younger, Rules of Civility was something fun, 13 Virtues, and Standing for Something. I make them read that in high school. Standing for Something, the virtues, that what we need to make sure we keep intact as humanity, most important. Now, this is where it comes in, and I apologize. You are my only high schooler in this room. Tell me your name.
Aaliyah.
Awesome. I have a daughter named Malia, so this will be good. Aaliyah, this is where you come in, and actually I'm hoping you've done this in the past, but you, and at this stage as you turn 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, guess what? It becomes your life, and you, with the guidance of your parents, are going to do a personal reflection and expectation about what you want to become. Now, not all of your learners are going to be okay and recognize that as a parent, your role and the responsibility that God's given you is to house them, to feed them, and in according to the Doctrine and Covenants, to learn, to continue to learn, and to help educate you. And so we have a certain amount of roles that we have to do, and you, and now I have the word scholar in here. In the TJ Ed leadership role, they have scholar as those who are choosing to engage and want to continue to learn. That phrase is usually used for kids 14 to 18, but just think of your any learner that wants to continue to grow and educate. So you can make a contract with your learner and say, I promise to do this, and we're going to give you all of these things, but I need you to agree also that we have expectations of learning, and that maybe you spend a couple hours a day doing XYZ. And in our other class, we talked mentoring our own. There was a rule of three that I used. 30% of your time should be in service, 30% work, 30% in education. Did I say that? All right, work, service, education. 10% can be fun, and I have to be okay with those choices. But as long as they're growing on a path and doing something that's going to help develop them, that's what we chose to do. But they need to communicate too. I highlighted that. Communication is key to make sure that our expectations are both being met. Now, there's many ways that as scholars, as learners, Aaliyah can reflect on, and hopefully you have been doing this with your kiddos, but this fun, quadratic-looking evaluation of how your kiddo's life is, this was actually given to us earlier. Kathy Mellor gave it to me 7 years ago, 8 years ago, a while before even the church came out with it. This was their way of trying to have your child reflect back on, what do you want to become? How can I develop myself the best way? I thought it was very affirming. The Spirit speaks to each one of us. It can speak to you. We know our kids. What do they, Aaliyah, what are your strengths? Now, this is rhetorical. Don't feel like you have to ask. But many different classes that I've been in, they've asked this. Jason Hewlett this morning asked the same thing. What are your strengths? What are your unique purposes that you think God's giving you? Okay? Have them make that self-evaluation. What do they want to accomplish? And then finally, how can we help you? All right, that's the parent role. Other ways that organizations have shown of how to, like self-reflection, another way is this VMASC option. This is LEMI. I don't know if you're familiar with Leadership Education Mentoring Institute. This is their formula of that same idea. Self-reflection. What do you want to become? How can you do it? What is your abilities, your skills, and what areas of knowledge are you going to start to study in order to support your goal? All right, so this is self-reflection. The parents, we do our stuff. The kids are going to do their self-reflection. This is another method too. So I have Ikigai on the handout. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Japanese Ikigai. So fun. I came across this, and this has become something that I have my older kiddos do, though. So when they're 16, 17, 18, when they get close so I can read this, their mission, their passion, their profession, and their vocation. What are their needs? What do they love? What are they good at? And then what are they going to be paid for? All right? Because not all the things that we can be paid for are going to be things that we love. Maybe nobody likes to be a plumber and clean out everybody's pipes in their house. But guess what? You can get paid really good for it. So how do you want to spend your time, Aaliyah? How do you think you're going to get paid for it if you choose to go into the work field? Or what's your mission? So if you guys have found another way for your older high schoolers, for them to evaluate as they get into that career path. Now, this is where you come together. This is the planning part of it. We've done it multiple ways. I am a very structured, let me see your spreadsheet. I'll put my notes in my spreadsheet. I love it. My husband, not so much. He's more about the informal meetings. I'm like, honey, have you met with so-and-so this past week? We need to talk about X. And he's like, yeah, we just did that the other day. I'm like, well, where are your notes? I didn't see them. Where are they? So purposeful planning, mentor meetings can be formal and also informal. my notes on creating a formal meeting, and the biggest thing is invite the Spirit. If you don't have the right Spirit together with your son or your daughter and you're as a couple, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish what you want to. I went to Crystal Bowman's presentation yesterday, and she talked about the different levels of emotions. And if you are not on the same page with your child, you need to emotionally say, I need to step aside and get control of myself before we come back together again. So make sure you both are on the same page where you're talking and you're happy and you like each other before you try and address any of this, okay? You want to create a plan. Aaliyah wants to get out of her mom's house. My kids wanted to get out of my house, but I want them to stay. That's a secret trick, by the way. We want you to stay. But I also want you to fly away and be successful. That's why we have them, right? We want them to become independent beings. But I also, now that they're all leaving me, I'm like, oh, no, don't go so fast. So we're going to create a plan. What are your scholars' end games? What do they envision becoming? My daughter, my third daughter, she is now in college, and all she wanted to be was be a mom. And I said, that is fantastic. Yes, I want you to be a mom too, but we need a backup plan. And so what's your backup plan going to be? And so we chose to establish a backup plan for her, or something that's going to facilitate or support that role of what she wants to be as a mom. She now wants to, after listening to Sierra Grant's presentation and doing some after doing some other knowledge of study and learning about entrepreneurship, and I want to do a preschool in my home, mom, and I want to do the Montessori method in there. I love it. I think we can make this work where I can still work and be with my family at the same time. It can happen. But you need to make a plan with them, a four-year plan, in fact. If their four-year plan is, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a hygienist, I want to be a tradesman, you need to start and say, okay, let's figure out where we're going to be. How can we help that happen for you? Now, daily, weekly, monthly, biannually, absolutely biannually at the least. All right? Maximum, you choose. But I want you to recognize it's important about connecting all the time. I loved my morning routine when the kids, up until about 5 years ago, it was fantastic. Boom, boom, boom. Totally structured and perfect. Ish. But now it's like, can I see you for dinner? When are you going to work? It's like, how can we make this happen? But we still have meetings. Like, these are very informal and very like, how did it go today? Just relationship building things. But we're still connecting. It's important that we connect every day. So mentor meetings. Now, the high school part of it, this is where everyone's like, okay, now I really got to start making this formal, and I have to make it real because I want my child to succeed and I want them to be able to do X, Y, Z. So there's a couple different paths you can take, and let me just add to this. This class, please do not use this only. There's such a great resource if you go to ldshde.org, go to they now call it podcast section. Listen to the plethora of podcasts that are there for you to recognize and to get more information on how you want to homeschool high school. Lots of different paths. The path that I took and the structure of what other people had done was a great outline for what became my own. But it was not traditional. I did not choose to have my kids graduate with a accredited high school diploma. Do you guys know what that means? Okay. There's many paths. So if you choose to do traditional and accredited, that means somebody else is organizing your child's schedule for you, and they take the full gear where 8 to 5, or it can be online now. You can get online programs that accomplish this, and there's some great ones there. My kiddos have taken a class from BYU Online High School. This is pre-COVID, when they actually had a hard copy of things because it fit what we needed, and he needed something new that wasn't me. So we need something new. So that was a path I took. Enzyme Peak, my two youngest, we did during COVID. We did online, I want to say online chemistry. Like, whoa, you can do that? That was fun. They enjoyed it as much as COVID allowed us to. Okay. Williamsburg Learning. I have not taken a class from there. Every year I say, if this isn't working, we're going to do this. But excellent program, Leadership Mind, great mentors that will motivate your kids. And the text, actually, I use they have free, like you can see what books they're reading for their classes, and we'll pull from some of those. Does that make sense? Now, it can be money. I didn't know this before, but apparently in Utah, you guys have access to a lot of charter money. So it depends if you want to opt out of that testing or how you want to do that, but Utah does have special rules where you can now use that money for your own homeschool stuff if you choose to. The path that we took was more of a non-traditional, unaccredited route, and I was okay with that because I was keeping records of what are my kids studying each year, what does it look like, and making sure I'm putting the hours in. When you choose to make your own transcript, and if your child is going to want to go to a university, they're going to ask for, well, what have you been doing for the last 4 years? We just want to know. They just really want to know. So you put on there, yes, my student got an A in this grade, because really we wouldn't be doing it unless I knew they were going to be completing it and doing well. Okay? If they're not doing well, flip it around, try and do something else. You can, of course, my kids in math, they didn't necessarily, it was not their strong point for a couple of them. They got Bs, and I was okay giving them Bs because I was fighting them. I was like, okay, let's do this. Let's do it more. And finally, we got through the 2 years that I had them myself, and then the last 2 years of their high school career with me. Now, FYI, I think eighth grade is not necessary, so all of my kids skipped eighth grade. We just went from seventh to ninth. So there's some pros and cons in that. If you want to talk later about it, we can. However, when they got to their math junior and senior year, okay, let's choose a math class that they can do at the college level. And so we were in community college area. My oldest went to, I believe it's in Central New Mexico College, something like that. And she ended up taking math courses there. You can test in through the AccuPlacer, or they'll have you take other testing. All three of my girls chose to do that path where they're doing dual enrollment classes or concurrent. And so that allowed us to, on our transcript, to say, yes, we're doing this, but guess what? They can also do college work because this is their grade from their college class. Okay?
Did your girls go to the school? Like, were they on campus?
So we've done a mixed. We've done mixed because of COVID. My youngest two did mostly online learning for their college classes, but they've also been doing in-person co-ops in our local community. And now the actual experience for them is to be able to go to a college class and participate. So my third, who just had her first full-time year of in-person student life in college, has loved it. And that's the first real in-person class she's had in the last 4 years. So it's interesting. We moved from Virginia to come to Utah because we wanted to have a better time with our girls. Okay? We wanted them to experience it without this.
Well, that wasn't something you'd put on the transcript. You just changed to something else?
Yes. So for instance, obviously your main ones that you have to have. So let me get to this in a second.
Okay.
There's blended, and so that's the blended. So unaccredited would be you create the transcript. You do want to have certain subjects on your transcripts because every college is going to say, did you meet your state requirements for graduation? All right, you need to have a state history in there. You have to have X amount of labs. You have to have, and it's back east, it's a lot more strenuous in Virginia. In Utah, you have to, you also have to have intro, an economics class or a finance class, right? So there's things that you have to have on there, but you can blend it. You have CLEP credits available as well. And as long as you have put the time in with your kiddos, and that includes driving to a museum. We're going to learn about geology, so we're going to go to the history or the Natural History Museum, okay? You put those things in there, you add up the hours. If your student completes 75% of their textbook, that is considered the full year course, all right? This is an example of one of the sheets that I got back in 2010 from another mom who was like, this is what we did when our kids were old enough, okay? It was a lot more rigorous for getting into college at that point, and so you needed to have showing examples of how is my child more well-rounded before they write their essay in order to get into BYU, right? This, if you log what they're doing, what are they interested in, what are their volunteer hours, you can add these to their job applications or their transcripts later, but they are important that you should log them, at least get your child also recognizing the importance of building other areas outside of school. Okay, the state requirements, you can Google it. Say state requirements for high school graduation. This bottom part down here, it says Kari Brimhall, proof you can homeschool through high school. I know the link doesn't work on your hard copy, but go home and look that up in the research. Yeah, that's this page right here. And also this page right here. Plan out your high school years. You have to have a certain amount of, what type of So I did English 9, 10, 11, and 12. That was my English language arts, like, on my transcript. English 9, and then guess what that consisted of? Well, whatever we wanted to make it of. Some of those years we chose to do The Good and the Beautiful because it actually had come out with a high school option. It worked with my girls. Other times we chose, okay, what books do you want to read? Let's read about them, write about them, and discuss. And then, hey, let's go visit Anna Green Gables country, because why not, right? Okay, this is what my transcript looks like because I was given a free... This is your high school transcript, HSLDA. They have one there. If you want me to send you another one, like a free transcript like this that I have, it's the same idea, but this is what it looks like for me. You're just showing that you've put the hours in, and guess what? Your child, they know stuff, right? That's all they want to know. And can your child do college work? So, Aaliyah, if you're choosing to go to college, and you don't have to, by the way, there's so many options now, but if you choose to, guess what? You can always start out, and as soon as you're 16, there's lots of options that you can do, and even before 16. There's colleges that will take you if you test in, like via Accuplacer, to their English and math levels. But if you want to try it out, why not? I was all for somebody else trying to teach my kiddos, as long as they shared the same worldview as me, or as long as I wasn't throwing them to the sharks. And guess how I knew that? Have you guys heard of Rate My Professor? Please tell me yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Even in our day, Rate My Professor was huge. You get to know what the peer reviews are for that professor. So before you get into the class, see what they're going to expect. If they're heavy into essays, are they heavy into verbal abuse? And some of the professors, the students were like, whoa, calm down. It was pretty bad. And some of them were like, no, I don't think I want you in that class. And actually, my daughter's was like, I don't want to be in that situation. And she pulled out. So there's a lot of things that you can opt out of, but know that Rate My Professor will help you if you're choosing to go that college path. Now, you've done your research, your child's done your research, and you're like, okay, we've got a plan. Let's do our four-year plan. And it was all in pencil, by the way. That was all in pencil. I'm going to erase, and I'm going to put something else in there. And then at the end of the year, at the end of May, or whenever you choose to end your homeschool times, when the youth have actually finished it, then I put that on the official transcript, okay? So the four-year plan is my pencil, and then the actual transcript is, okay, did you complete the work that we said you were going to do? Did you send permission to the text? Did you get at least a B on it? I wouldn't let them finish unless they got a B, okay? They're going to do it over and over again until they get a B, until it's quality work, okay? Now, parent-to-youth meetings... Okay, informal meetings, really fast. I got forward too fast. Informal meetings, make them wherever, but make them fun, make them memorable. If you find yourself, my kids and I, we've gone a lot of different places, but sometimes that most sacred time is in the car when you're driving here and there. So it can also be on a hike together. I am an advocate for outdoors and seeing anything green and spending time in nature because that's where God, I feel like, speaks to me, and I'll take my kids up there. Do whatever you can to build those relationship building experiences, especially at this time. I don't know if you're familiar with the attachment theory and how if your kiddo's attached to you, and now I know there's a lot of pressure for them to attach to their peers at a very young age, especially in our current school system, but if they attach to you, they're going to want to keep you influenced and to allow you to have that influence back in their life. Okay. Now, building your masterpiece is one of the most challenging things you can do. I think of a canvas and I recognize that my work is not going to be God's work. This is where I need to make sure I allow God in to help me form who my child wants to be. My role is to match, latch, and lead. I'm going to study with them. I'm going to play, work, discover, learn, be there with them every single time that, all the times that I can. But yes, I am going to step back when I need to fill my own bucket. There's definitely days when I was like, whoa, give me about, 15 minutes. I'll be back in a minute. And I'd recenter and I'd come back. But I also want them to gain those skills of how do they recenter when they need to? How do they get in control again when it's important for them? I want to inspire them to greatness. I want them to recognize that letting go and stepping back is something that my responsibility is doing. Okay, I need to help them make their choices and recognize that they're owning their education. They bought in, they just don't remember it. Now we have to help them again learn to buy into this idea of University Earth, that this life is all about learning and education. Teaching them how to learn. I did come across this really neat TED Talk, Make It Stick, The Science of Successful Learning. That is something that I have my kiddos watch, and then hopefully they implement that into their learning. And know that your child is also the curriculum. Like, what are they interested in? What do they want to learn about? Yes, you have to cover the basics, but guess what? Astronomy, if they want to go to the night sky and learn about it more, then do it. They can make their own choices, but what you place in front of them is going to mold them into who they are. If you're giving them a lot of screen time, be careful and make very serious boundaries. If you're choosing to go spend a summer somewhere where there's no online access, guess what? They're going to be very heavy into creating and building and spending time in nature later, okay? But you build the boundaries. You want to make sure that what they're being offered is what you're going to get that same result, okay? Where does your inspiration come from? For me, I go into old buildings, and architecture inspires me. I see the Pietà, and I think, what kind of mom can I be? I see the French Revolution, and I hear Les Mis, and it changes me. Music, art, architecture, it changes people. It gives you something to try and attain that is something that you possibly could not come up with on your own. Give them these experiences to go to the places to see the beauty and the perfection there. Throughout my kids' lives, I wanted to create what they call crystallizing experiences. And in my vision of what a crystallizing experience is let's hike to the top of Table Rock or the type of Timpanogos, and we're going to do this. And guess what? They came along with me. We went sailing for 6 months down the Bahamas because it's something I wanted to do. Way out of our comfort zones. But yeah, crystallizing experiences as a family. Now, that top quote, it says, diamonds are formed under pressure and bread dough rises when you let it rest. We're all our own things. What's motivating you may be crippling to others. Sometimes with each of my kids, I make the mistake of thinking what motivates me or what's going to crystallize with me is the same for them. I've had to step back and just observe and say, what is it that lights them up? Where do they feel God's pleasure in knowing that they're doing His will? So the pressure that I'm giving them may not be the pressure that God wants them to feel. And so I need to step back and use that connection, that personal revelation, to know when I need to pull back and know when I need to stretch them. Because that's where we learn and that's where we grow. Cathedrals themselves take hundreds of years to build. The artists and the craftsmen that built these did not see them finished, most of them in their lifetime. I love the fact that even in the upper roof of the Notre Dame, you can see intricate carving. Now, granted, it had burned down, and unfortunately, we lost a lot of the intricacy. But they knew that maybe the world couldn't see it way up in the rafters, but they knew God saw it. Homeschooling is not for the light of heart, and it's not a short-term reward. We all know that the long-term investment that God gave us in the idea of personal choice was a hard one, and you're not going to see short-term rewards, but the long-term gain and the long-term rewards are there. Be present, be purposeful, and be patient. God knows you. He knows your children. He sent them to you for a reason. He's at the helm. I hope that you all continue to buy into this idea of continuing to educate your kids through high school. You can do it, and I know God knows you can do it. Thank you. So what I'd like to do for the next 10 minutes is just open it up for questions and answers. And Jenny, can you just keep us on track with the time?
Yep.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? How do I skip? Oh, so 8th grade is pretty much just your 9th grade repeated, okay? So there have been some, if you notice back on that schedule, when my kids got to be a certain age, I'm like, you can handle 9th grade work. I don't need to be reteaching you what you learned before. So eighth grade year is typically a summer year in public school to prepare them for high school. And the ninth grade is, guess what? Another summer year. So if you can cover, they in your state requirements, they say you need to cover 4 years of English, math, history, science. Okay. Then what you need to decide is if your child is mature enough and ready to skip that year. They may not be ready to skip the year, and that's just fine. There's pros and cons. I know that my oldest, I put her fast through. I wanted her to graduate early, so she graduated at 16 high school, and then had her dual enrollment, and then at that point, she's all of a sudden upper level college courses. And so she becomes now, like she gets her degree at 19, but the problem with my vision for her future was not the vision that she had for herself, nor what God had in mind for her too. And so she got married at 19. I got married at 19 too. But it was not the path I was envisioning for her. So there's trade-offs. If you're going to put them fast through your 4 years of school, go for it. If they are mentally and emotionally ready for that content and academically, I don't see any reason why they have to repeat the same things. So I don't necessarily look at grade levels. I look at content that you've learned. And if we are doing Apologia, high school science, biology, guess what? It's very similar to an actual college textbook. So introduce them to a like community college course or something else that, and then once they understand the format of how do I get through Canvas, like an online program, or having them go to class and do the formats of how do I read a syllabus. There's certain things that you can help them with initially, but they need to be ready for the material. So you have to be that judge.
So your daughter that she graduated early and needs some dual enrollment, and she's the one who, so then after she graduated, she went on the college campus and started taking classes at 16?
So we had her at 17 at that point. So she did all of her junior, senior year the same way that you did like your regular freshman, sophomore year. My last two girls have chosen to do like one or two courses here and there. They were like, yeah, I don't want to go as fast as Samantha did. I feel like we wanted to have a little bit more, just a little bit more time. And so they're taking one or two classes or sometimes three classes per semester. But another benefit, by the way, of taking that community college course is if you do a semester of English or a semester of math or anything, it covers for a whole year of high school credit.
So environment-wise, at their age, like how did that feel for them?
It was a little bit awkward. It was a little bit awkward because they're graduating at 17 high school, but guess what? YSA is like 18, right? So October birthdays work great. My youngest is a January birthday, and she's graduating this year. And so she's like, Mom, I don't want to go to YSA yet. So there is that gray, uncomfortable zone. I don't want her to go to YSA either. And so she'll probably come to Relief Society with me, or maybe she'll stay in Young Women's. I don't know, wherever she feels most comfortable. I just want her to come to church and to feel the Spirit and to work on her testimony. So there's lots of paths that they can take, but it is kind of a fluff zone. Count out your years and count backwards where you want. A, do you want your boy going on his mission at 18 or maybe 19? And then decide where you want to finish. But I do know that as soon as you finish your senior year, for me, I become more of a influence versus, all right, how's it going? Let's see if we can do better on this. I'm not a coach. I am kind of a coach still, and I want to have influence, but I'm not the one who's making their schedule. They're making their day, and you want to get that. Jenny, did you have a...
You can answer this later unless anybody else wants to know. Would you talk about attachment theory? I haven't heard of that.
Okay, attachment theory is, and I'll send you a link on this too. This is Well Educated Heart. They have it in their introductory course when you're getting to know the idea of the importance of mothers and spending time with their children. But in the years that you're with your children, in fact, the younger you are, the more time you spend with them, they're attached to you. As soon as we introduce the public school model where they're now in the setting of peers there, the peers themselves become who they're attached to. They want their approval. They want their acceptance. And their behavior will change so that they are accepted amongst their peers versus their parent. If you're not in their life, if you're not spending time with them, they're going to attach to those whom they spend time with. And in the public school model, 8 hours a day is a pretty darn good amount of time with them. So you choose how much attachment you want to have.
Yeah.
Did you have a question too?
Yeah. I just pulled my daughter out of high school.
Yay!
Last day yesterday, ninth grade.
Wow.
So thank you for this. But she doesn't want to grow up. she's only 14, so I'm like happy with that right now. But she doesn't want to be a mother either.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what I can do to help her find her place in the world. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
I'm like, I support the fact that you're not ready to grow up. I'm not ready for you to grow up. But also, I do want you to be like a productive member of society who cares more about other people than she currently is at. You know, she kind of is just in her own world. She loves fantasy books.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
Isn't very interested in reality.
No, I think that's super common. In fact, I was all about fantasy books, too, when I was that age. And I still am, like, I need a release. Okay, now, like, my fluff books are, like, historical fictions. They're like, I'm a nonfiction reader. But I do love the fact that, A, that's just that time period where they're focusing on themselves a lot. But you're also coming directly out of high school, and so there needs to be, I hope that Sidra talked about this, like, a decompression time or a step back and let's just work on those foundation stones. Go serve together. Go to an old folks' home. See, you know, we played bingo and we did all kinds of things for people who have lost their physical capabilities to do it for themselves. Build empathy through service with her. Go and plan these things that will engage her in the community and see the bigger picture of what they can become. Aaliyah, be thinking about this in the future, but I want you to think back to an experience that you had that maybe you felt opened up your eyes to the needs of others. Like, was it through service? Was it through doing a youth activity? Is there something that you think? So keep that in your mind. Think about what it was that changed your viewpoint, maybe from here to there. Okay? So it's a reflective one. If you want to share it, you can. Don't feel like you have to. Yeah. Thank you very much, you guys. Feel free to email me or ask me any questions.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.